This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Okay, I've never pointed on camera. What? How do I point? There you go. Wait, there we go.
Hi, I'm Rachel Hampton.
And I'm Daisy Rosario, and you're listening to ICYMI.
In case you missed it,
Slate's podcast about internet culture.
And she's back. And no, I'm actually not talking about Daisy, though Daisy is back. Welcome back, Daisy.
Thank you, Rachel. I'm here, and I mean, even if I didn't know exactly already what we were talking about, I mean, you said it in a way that gave voice to my feelings.
It's a little bit of fear, it's a little bit of discomfort, and it's also a little bit of that was inevitable.
Yeah.
Before we get into the story that we're just teasing, I want to preemptively apologize for the quality of my voice. I had too much fun this weekend, and now y'all get to suffer for it. So if it starts going into, like, squeaky territory, my bad. So back to the important news. On Sunday, October 2nd, Lena Dunham tweeted. She said, "When I go, I want my casket to be driven through the New York City Pride Parade with a plaque that reads, 'She wasn't for everyone, but she was for us.' Who can arrange?" I saw this tweet and immediately sent it to one of my group chats with the caption, "She's back."
I saw this tweet and immediately retweeted it asking if Billy Eichner had asked her to tweet this to pull some of the focus off of him, because this is like, she is one of those people, and it is a short list, but like, I know that Schadenfreude is wrong, and I use every part of my soul to try to be a decent person, and then I see stuff like this and I just go, I'm just gonna enjoy this one, because what?
She brings it on herself. It's the thing. It's not like she ever is unfairly being maligned. This is a wild thing for anyone to tweet.
It really
but
is.
But for Lena Dunham, I can't quite remember exactly what happened that made her disappear the most recent time. It was either like the Odell Beckham Jr. thing, or she like defended a writer on her show, Girls, when he was accused of sexual assault. Yeah.
Oh my God. Uh-huh. Right.
But I just remember she disappeared. She went into the great beyond of white women. And I was like, maybe in that great beyond, she has managed to gain some self-awareness, because I hadn't heard from her in a while. I had been seeing good reviews of her new movie, Catherine Called Birdie. And I was like, oh, maybe she's entered a new chapter in her life. And then she tweeted this.
It's like, last week we were reminding people of like the old friends of BuzzFeed. And now I feel like this is the old friend of things you enjoyed watching get pummeled on Twitter.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, though, I crave consistency. I'm a creature of habit. So honestly, Lena, thank you for your service. For just when we thought things were about to change, you said, no, not today. And I'm sure we'll be discussing one of her ill-advised statements at some point. I'm not going to say tweets, because she really says it in all the forums.
Yeah.
But today, that's all the time we have for her. We're done talking about Lena Dunham.
Yeah, we're done.
After a short break, though, we will be talking about how exactly an Orthodox Jewish boys choir took over TikTok. And later in the show, we will be discussing Twitch streamer Dream's face reveal.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And we're back in Miami or Brooklyn. What?
Could be either.
It could be either. I know I say like once a week, and it really is once a week at this point that this is our most requested episode. But the thing is, y'all really do be sliding into our DMs consistently, and I love to see it. I keep thinking there's no way we will ever have a more requested episode. And then here you guys come, and I love it.
Yep.
Our first question about the Miami Boys Choir popped into our inbox on September 29th, and ever since then, at least one of y'all once a day have been begging for an explainer. So here it is.
Woohoo!
So Daisy, as a Brooklyn native, you had some familiarity with the Miami Boys Choir pre-TikTok blow up, right?
Midwood represent. Sorry. I've never had a reason to say that, and I don't think I ever will again, so I had to take it. Yes, I did have a little bit of awareness. When this first came up, one of the things that I pointed out was that their more recent shows have been at Brooklyn College, which is literally a college in Brooklyn. It's in the center of Brooklyn. It's in an area called Midwood. I did not go to Midwood High School, but there's that school right there. But I did go to high school not terribly far from there in a very like Hasidic neighborhood. Like, we often think back to high school, my friends and I, when we like chat about it, we'll be like, remember how we used to always have to get lunch on Friday, like real fast after school in the winter because everything was about to close, and just like things that you know if you live around that. But
yeah,
in addition, like, I went to NYU and I lived on campus, and my freshman year, one of my roommates that was like randomly assigned by lottery was a Jewish girl from Connecticut. We're still really good friends, but it was one of those things where I don't think I understood how much I knew about Judaism from just like the osmosis of living where I lived until I met her, because she came home on like the second day of orientation and was like, Daisy, there are so many Jewish people in New York. And I was like, yes, like, welcome to the party. Like,
so why are we talking about Brooklyn? We're talking about the Miami Boys Choir. Because, important distinction to make. The most important thing to know about the Miami Boys Choir, from henceforth known as the MBC, they're not actually based in Miami, or at least not anymore. The MBC was founded way back in 1977 by Yarakmeel Begun in Miami Beach, Florida. And since its founding, they have put out 32 albums and had an estimated 500 alumni made up of preteen and teenage Orthodox Jewish boys. But after the first few albums, the choir moved to Brooklyn, which explains why we were talking about Brooklyn and why all the boys in the choir are from the tri-state area. What that doesn't explain is why exactly this blew up on TikTok.
Exactly. Okay, so the very first MBC video was uploaded to TikTok on June 29th of this year, and over this jaunty tune, the on-screen caption reads, 100 Voice Choir of Unity, members from across the NYC tri-state coming together.
All right, here's where I admit, I fuck really heavy with a boys choir. Like, I'm not gonna lie. My favorite song in Les Mis is Red and Black because of those sweet, sweet male harmonies.
Ooh.
And this should not be surprising based on how much I loved One Direction. But Daisy, as a child of the theater, I'm assuming you also love a four-part harmony.
Oh my God, absolutely. Like, I will tell people songs that sound incredible that are harmony songs that they should listen to in headphones and just enjoy the sensation.
So the TikTok for the MBC was actually started by the son of the founder, who, according to an interview with NBC, told his father, "Dad, we have to get on TikTok. There's a chance, nobody knows for sure, but there's a chance something crazy could happen." And boy, was he right.
Incredible.
Boy, was he correct.
so right. Finger on the pulse, sir.
Truly, truly. I'm like a visionary. So after the NBC TikTok started in June, they uploaded pretty consistently, and they were very quickly rewarded when they struck gold a few months after that very first video. If you are one of the people who is on Miami Boys Choir TikTok, the video we're about to play is probably the one that you've heard. It was uploaded on August 21st, and since then has garnered more than 976,000 likes and 8.6 million views. The song has been used in over 9,000 videos. So in this video, it's showing off these four different soloists from the 2008 through 2012 era of the Miami Boys Choir. And so on screen, you'll see their different names, where they're from. And what you're seeing is a group of like preteen and teenage boys singing on stage in those like shiny little button-down shirts and ties. And they're just all so cute.
And passionate.
Yes, they're so into it. Like,
they're giving
born
it their
performers.
All.
Yes.
But the comments are, as usual, really where it's at. And this is a side note to say that if you are only watching TikToks on other platforms like Instagram and Twitter, you're missing out on one of the most important parts of TikTok, which is the comment section. And I have to say, I do not always recommend a comment section, but I do recommend the TikTok comment sections. And for this specific video, they include comments like, "You guys are sleeping on my king, Benjamin." "Telling my kids this was Backstreet Boys." And setting the bar, mitzvah, high. I love that last one so much. And Benjamin is the name of one of the boys in the video, just so that that makes sense to you. If you have not watched the video yet, which what are you doing? Get yourself to it.
Yes, we will link it on our Twitter feed. But yes, all of the boys' names are included in the video. So obviously it turned into Stan Wars in the comment section.
I love it so much.
Same. Now, at this point, you might be asking, you know what? That song was catchy, but why did it go viral? And the answer is, as usual, I really cannot give you a scientific answer, because once again, the TikTok algorithm has seized on a random piece of ephemera and shoved it into our brains.
Yes.
I will say that looking at it objectively, as objectively as I can, having listened to it 12 times in the past 2 hours,
right,
it has all the makings of a piece of ready-made viral internet content. Because you've got dance moves, and not like, you know, very good dance moves, but some dance moves.
Right.
You've got costuming choices, the kind you'd expect from a Jewish boys choir, a lot of shiny shirts.
Yes.
You've got legitimate vocal talent, and you get, importantly, as we mentioned, individuals you can choose to root for, a la K-pop bands or the boy bands of the 90s. So you can be like my king, Benjamin, or my bro, David. Like, y'all are sleeping on him.
Yes. If I may posit my own theory, I think I agree that it's, you know, it hits a bunch of the stuff that is already great. I also think that as much as people are like deeply uncomfortable with sincerity, we kind of love it when we see it in uncertain ways. And that's the thing, is like, these kids are performing so sincerely.
Yes,
they are going so hard. And like, the lack of shame, the lack of all of those things are just fantastic. I also think people are constantly amazed when they're reminded of any kind of, I guess, for lack of a better way of saying it, like subculture, right? And it's like, there are all different kinds of groups all around the country that are either like religiously based or culturally based, who have their own little things. I mean, it is a very real part of like Orthodox Judaism that they don't really interact much with like secular pop culture in any meaningful way, right? So like, this is something that would have been like really special to those people at that time too. And those audiences that like would show up and be so hardcore. And I feel like any time that we're reminded of like the things that don't fit the machines that we're used to right now, we're just like even more taken with those things.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's also like from a composing perspective, legitimately incredible. Like yes. These are original songs made in this like very like poptimistic style that are so kept. So many people in the comments saying, I don't understand what anyone's saying and I still love it. And it's like, that's the mark of a good song.
Yes,
and
it is.
It's working because now the Miami Boys Choir TikTok has almost 150,000 followers. The Miami Boys Choir hashtag has over 136 million views.
Wow.
And that hashtag features people very nicely reviewing the boys' performances. Everyone, there's no one gets below a 9.5 out of 10. You see people learning the choreography. You see people uploading videos from the Miami Boys Choir YouTube channel that the Miami Boys Choir TikTok hasn't uploaded yet. You have both transliterations and translations of the songs, so people will know what's being said. I would play some of these TikToks, but they're all sets of the same song we just played, and it's already stuck in my head.
Oh my God, completely. And no one's more surprised by the virality than the boys themselves. In an NBC interview, Binyamin Abramowitz said, "We never got recognition like this before. It's fascinating. The fact that everyone in the world is loving this, even though they don't understand the language, I'm trying to wrap my head around it." And then another of the now grown boys, David Herskowitz, said, "I hadn't seen that video of myself in probably 10 years, so it was really funny seeing it," which is just amazing. I love it. This is just easy saying I love it.
I love it too, even though I'm actively cringing out of my skin at the thought of a video of myself from between the ages of 9 and 14 going viral in 2022. Though I will say these boys are no strangers to fame. Herskowitz told the Times of Israel that he definitely remembers at the Israel shows that there would always be seas of people waiting when we got out for an autograph or a picture. And in that same Times of Israel piece, other Miami Boys Choir alums spoke about being mobbed by girls, which must have been exciting for a preteen boy. And one even described his fax number being spread around, which was a fucking blast from the past.
I love that.
What does it mean that your fax number is being leaked?
I love that all of this, I have to point this out, Rachel, like all of this is happening during the Jewish High Holy Days of 2022. Like they're, you know, they're online trending, this episode that we're putting out. I mean, if you don't know who the Miami Boys Choir is, I'm not really worried about you being upset that you can't listen first thing on Yom Kippur, but like it's the whole thing is amazing. It's just amazing. A fax, amazing.
And what else is amazing is that one person in particular is really taking advantage of their moment in the spotlight. Soon after the Miami Boys Choir started going viral, David Herskowitz started his own TikTok, starting with this one.
It's Herskowitz.
He's also done updated covers of his childhood work.
Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, Harim Saviv, Harim Saviv, Ayva Hashem Saviv, Saviv Liyamay, Meya Taviyad Ahilam.
How was that?
That video has 4.3 million views, and he seems to be planning to release new music, which I'm glad he's seizing on that moment in the sun. One thing I didn't really ever think about with boys choirs is like you age out of them.
Yes, you really do.
I didn't think about that. I was just like, you could just keep doing, why'd they all leave at 14? And then I'm like, puberty.
Yes,
puberty. He just can't hit those notes anymore.
No. There are actually some really great details about those things in a couple of the articles that we cited, so definitely go check those out. But yeah, speaking of moments in the sun and Herskowitz making the most of his, it's time to talk about somebody else's that is not nearly as heartwarming. After a short break, we're going to talk all about the face reveal of a famous Twitch streamer.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true. But shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son, George, on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. Trust me, you've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. The show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore? Something this audacious and sexy, as genre-bending as it gets. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
Hi, y'all. If you love our podcast, and I really hope you do, then please consider subscribing to Slate Plus. When you subscribe to Slate Plus, you get no ads on any Slate podcast, including this one. Yes, even this one. You'll be supporting the podcast. I See Why Am I would not be possible without y'all's support. And you'll get bonus segments or episodes on shows like Slow Burn, Hang Up and Listen, Mom and Dad Are Fighting, and Big Mood, Little Mood. You'll also get unlimited reading on the Slate website, which means you get access to every single article and advice column on Slate without ever, ever, ever hitting the paywall. Just visit slate.com/ICYMIplus to sign up. That's slate.com/ICYMIplus. And we're back on YouTube. Dream is a YouTuber and Twitch streamer who primarily makes Minecraft content. He has over 30 million subscribers on YouTube, which is much. He blew up around 2019, 2020, which makes sense. A lot of people, including me, actually got into games during the pandemic and also got into watching like video game streaming content.
Yeah.
I don't think any of his videos in the past 2 years have under 14 million views.
Damn.
Which means, in the words of the great Quinta Brunson, he got money. Here's an example of one of his videos.
This video, three of my friends try and hunt me down and kill me in Minecraft for $20,000. If I survive for 100 minutes, I win. If they kill me, they win. And every 10 minutes...
So up until this weekend, most of his millions of fans had no idea what he looked like. He was most well known as this really simple little smiley face and obviously his voice.
I really didn't know about this phenomenon of anonymous streamers until like 2020 and 2021 when I came across people on TikTok lip syncing to Corpse Husband videos.
Oh,
do you know
yes.
Corpse Husband?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So he's another anonymous YouTuber. He's mostly known for his Among Us content, which is an online multiplayer game. He's also a musician. His song E-Girls Are Ruining My Life had a real TikTok moment last year. Literally no one besides his real actual friends knows what he looks like. His fans are so incredibly horny for him. It is wild. And I'm gonna keep it a buck. I get it. He has a nice voice. It's a good voice.
It's a good voice. It is.
And I feel like, and maybe you feel this way too, my early internet experiences were defined by anonymity.
Yeah.
So people thirsting after only a voice isn't really all that surprising to me. There are Tumblr bloggers whose content formed, I think, 5% of my personality, like, conservatively, who I would not be able to pick out of a lineup.
Yeah.
But with the advent of social media like Facebook and MySpace and Instagram, and with the influx of money into social media, I feel like anonymity kind of went out of vogue, at least if you wanted to make money.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. But it is coming back, isn't it? At least that's what it seems like with the popularity of Corpse and Dream. And it makes sense, right? I mean, we're in the middle of this backlash against the glossy, inauthentic aesthetic that was popular in the 2010s. I mean, look at the success of Be Real or the recent Michaela Nogueira drama where she was partially lambasted for her use of filters. With completely anonymous creators, there's nothing else to grab onto but their personality, so it comes across as more genuine.
Yeah, and I think it also makes it a lot easier to project onto an anonymous creator.
Oh, yeah.
You get to imagine what they look like, how they move. There's even more of a void to parasocially create in than normal.
Yes.
Which brings us to Dream's face reveal. And
yikes.
Perhaps the downfall of anonymous creators.
It's brutal.
It is. On Sunday night, Dream finally showed his face for the first time. His stream where he did it had over 1.2 million views by the end of it. That video that is now on YouTube got more than 21 million views in less than 20 hours.
Wow.
At the time of recording, it's the number one trending video on YouTube. And in that video, he explains why he chose now to reveal his face after about 7 years of being faceless. And one of those reasons is that he's meeting one of his online friends in person for the first time, which I thought was really sweet. If
that is.
Dream is actually canceled for some reason that I couldn't find, please don't tell me.
Hi, my name is Clay, otherwise known as Dream Online. May have heard of me, may have not. Maybe you clicked on this video just out of pure curiosity and you don't care who I am. But now you've seen my face, and so obviously you know who I am.
He just looks like he's got a normal face.
He's a dude. It's really funny to me watching somebody who has probably made conservatively thousands of dollars off of YouTube figuring out how to film for the first time.
Wow, like,
you can
good point.
Tell.
Yeah.
You can tell that he's trying to figure out like how to move, what angle he wants his face to be at.
Yes.
There's a point where he tries to point at a sign behind him, and he's doing this thing that I think we all do, where we know that we have a good side and we're trying to cater towards that good side in filming.
Yes.
But when you're filming a video, you have to move naturally or else it comes off like really kind of jarring. And so you can, it was endearing to me to watch because like he's clearly so used to talking, but like not moving.
Yes. And some of the reaction is like really over the top. This guy has a really, I don't even want to say average face because like, what does that even mean? He's not unattractive enough to describe it in a particularly interesting way. And he's not attractive
enough.
He's just a dude. He's just a dude that you like legit just like wouldn't even notice in most situations.
Yes.
And I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean there's not like hugely compelling things about his look to describe.
It's nothing to write home about.
No.
In either direction.
Nope.
But unfortunately, the rest of the internet did not take nearly so middle of the road to this.
Yes.
Remember what I said about parasocially projecting?
Woof.
Because Dream just looks like some dude, like you're not going to stop if you see him on the street. You also wouldn't stop if you saw me on the street. Most of us just look like people. But there's an expectation, I think, that famous people are beautiful. And that was extremely on display in the aftermath of Dream's face reveal.
Yeah. The hashtag Dream face reveal very quickly trended along with put the mask back on, which is just rude.
Yes. When I first saw that hashtag, I thought it was like a pandemic-related thing.
Me too! Me too! I thought we were finally going to do something for disabled people, but we're gonna still not, apparently.
No, no. And then I clicked on it and I was like, oh no.
Yep.
Like, my man has been compared to every single Shrek character from Rumpelstiltskin to Lord Farquaad to Humpty Dumpty. Like,
oh my God.
The hashtag is wild to me in that it's actually really easy to get a hashtag trending. Just
it's
ask
true.
Literally any stan of a K-pop group.
Yeah.
But the real mark of a viral Twitter trend is how viral the individual tweets are in the hashtag. I had to scroll for a solid few minutes to find any tweets that had under like 5,000 likes. Like wow. The average tweet in that hashtag is garnering like 100,000 likes. Oh. So many sides of Twitter are coming together to roast this man. Part of the reason why it got so much notice is that he's been teasing his face debut for like 2 weeks.
Oh, geez. Yeah. That's a lot of buildup for that face.
It's just a face. Like, I understand because he has so many followers that it's going to be a big deal when he reveals his face.
Right.
But he also made it a bigger deal than it needed to be.
Exactly.
He had other creators post. I don't know if he had them post it. Maybe they just decided to post it themselves. I don't know. But other creators were revealing their reactions to his face before his face reveal. Like, and so I understand why it got so much traction. But my God, was it scrolling through that hashtag rough?
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, look, here's the thing. Like, Dream has other powerful fans. The responses to his tweeted face reveal is a murderer's row of YouTubers and Twitch streamers, including MrBeast, Rhett and Link, the actual official Twitch Twitter account, you know? So I think in the end, Dream is going to be fine. But I don't think you can do that much buildup without it kind of backfiring a little bit on you. I mean, you know what it really reminds me of?
What?
I'm being legit when I say this. The incredibly annoying marketing campaign for the movie Bros. Like, you made an annoying campaign about it. The situation that came together was not great. And so now you're going to get some extra heat because of it.
Yes, that's a perfect analogy. White men just need to stop, I think, is the general vibe of what's going on. Except for the Orthodox Jewish Boys Choir. They can keep going.
Absolutely. NBC forever.
All right, that is the show. We'll be back in your feed on Saturday, so please subscribe. It is the best way to never miss an episode, to never miss a viral banger, to never miss a face reveal. Maybe I'll reveal my face one day. Please leave a rating and review on Apple or Spotify. Tell your friends about us. Tell your boys choir about us. You can follow us on Twitter at ICYMI_pod, which is also where you can DM us your questions like, what's going on with the Miami Boys Choir? And you can also always drop us a note at ICYMI@slate.com.
ICYMI is produced by Daniel Schrader and Rachel Hampton. I'm Daisy Rosario, the senior supervising producer, and Alicia Montgomery is Slate's VP of audio. See you online.
Or in Miami.
But Brooklyn.
You're Lena Dunn.
I like it when you say the ones that make me wonder if Rachel has frozen, because like her death stare is that thorough that it's like, nope, is she frozen? Nope.
That's me wishing for death. That's what's happening in my head. I'm just like, what if I just disappeared into the ether right now? I'm going into the West, like Galadriel. I must diminish into the West.